The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Well, Michigan State's out of the tourney, but that doesn't mean we can't talk plenty about the tourney in WILS Weekend Kickoff here on 1320 WILS, also streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Become a fan of the show on Facebook at 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff. You can also follow us on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. We're going to be previewing all four brackets, all four regions, and what's going on in the round of 32 and beyond. We'll start with the West bracket in the next segment, which is Arizona versus Texas, Cincinnati versus UConn, Temple, San Diego State, and then Duke versus Michigan. And Scott, I want to talk about Michigan for a segment or so because, you know, this is a team. It started off the year, everybody expected Michigan was going to be bottom of the barrel Big Ten, right down there with Iowa and Indiana fighting for maybe six wins in the entire conference. Maybe you steal one from Penn State, maybe you steal one from Northwestern. But as this season has gone along, Michigan has not only turned into a serviceable basketball team, they've turned into a good basketball team. Okay, and much like we were talking about with Michigan State, that there's no cohesiveness, okay? This Michigan team is very much together, very gelled, in a very John Beilein type of way. You can't be anything but impressed with how Michigan has played.
No, you can't. And the bigger thing, maybe, they're easy to be a fan of. Their style, it is actually very easy to watch them and root for.
It's like I talked about with Michigan State earlier. What I'm excited about next year with Michigan State is the fact that they're going to play hard. They're going to play 40 minutes of tough basketball. And this Michigan team plays 40 minutes of inspired tough basketball, regardless of the score. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's not. This is how they play.
Well, and not even that, because you kind of typecast people by saying they play tough, they're gritty, gutty. They have the talent on the outside to match
too. They play finesse, too. I mean, they've got some very talented guards in Morgan, Douglas, Hardaway Jr. I mean, they've got some talented guards, and they play with some finesse. But when I talk tough, I talk more guys like Zach Novak, who's like 6'2", playing down low with a whole bunch of 6'10 players.
I think he's the same exact size as Keebler. And yeah, having Jordan Morgan down low, when they can finally get that presence,
yep.
that is something that any team that's a shooting team, they have to have a good inside man. Like, and I go back to Michigan State with Goran Sutton, as much as I didn't care for him, it's really hard to be a good three-point shooting team unless you have a big man that you can kick it into, and he can draw the defenders down a little bit and open up so much more space. They have that in Darius Morris when he drives and kicks, but if you have the inside presence to go with it, that can be a scary combination.
Here's what I think is the most underrated part of Michigan's game. Their defense is very, very good, and you wouldn't think it because of the matchups. But, I mean, think about this. They held Tennessee to 16% shooting from three-point land, okay? 16%, 3 of 18. Their starting five outside of Tobias Harris scored a combined 13 points between all their starting five. Outside of Tobias Harris, they could do nothing against Michigan's starting five.
And Harris scored most of his in the first half.
Yeah. So, well, everybody on Tennessee scored most of theirs in the first half. They got outscored 46-12 in the second half.
42-16.
Yep. Thank you. But their defense is very, very good. And, you know, a lot of people, they're not going to beat Duke. There's no way you beat Duke in Charlotte. Okay. It's just not going to happen. But they match up better than people think they do against Duke.
Can we talk about this a little bit?
Sure.
How Duke and North Carolina, I don't think they've ever had to leave the state of North Carolina in the first and second round.
I was listening to ESPN radio a while ago, and Jay Billis was saying right after the draw, and he said there was a time back in the 90s and early 2000s where Duke went 13 straight seasons playing first and second round games in North Carolina. Okay, and how you make it so they play their first and second round games in Charlotte when they're in the West bracket makes no sense to me.
It seems like they did that on purpose. The whole change of, well, we want to give teams a chance to play more regionally and have more fans there. No, you wanted to give Duke and North Carolina the bigger advantage.
But you know what? Duke, in Duke's defense, Duke is a one seed. And you always give one seed's home court advantage, so to speak, as they go through. So in Duke's defense this year, they are a one seed. So they should deserve to get that home court advantage. But you're not beating Duke in Charlotte. You're just not doing it. But I think Michigan matches up better than people realize against Duke. They're not going to beat them, but it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
How much of an impact do you think Kyrie Irving has? Because I filled out my bracket and I did not change it once I heard Kyrie Irving would play because I didn't think he would be able to come back and do too much.
Well, here's the situation with Kyrie Irving. Okay, yes, you get Kyrie Irving back. And yeah, he played pretty well yesterday. He did, especially for somebody who hasn't played in a couple of months. Until they get Kyle Singler going again, all you're doing is resetting one star for another. Okay, if they get Singler going, if they can get Singler hot, now you're talking Irving taking Nolan Smith's point guard responsibilities away. So Nolan Smith can now play shooting guard where he's best. Kyrie Irving can penetrate and kick out to Kyle Singler, and they can make threes too. Then, yes, I think it makes a big deal. So to me, the key is Kyle Singler. The key is not Kyrie Irving. Okay, because they were doing just fine with Nolan Smith at the point guard. But if you add that extra dimension and get Singler hot, now you're talking about too much to guard at one time. Because it's not that Seth Curry was playing bad in Irving's absence. Okay, Seth Curry was playing pretty well. And, you know, the Plumlee brothers do a good job of rebounding if they can stay out of foul trouble. And so really, it just comes down to, you know, if Irving is penetrating, and he has the option to either dish it out to Singler or dish it inside to Plumlee's, to one of the Plumlee's while they're sort of cherry picking for rebounds, then yeah, I think it makes a big difference. Okay, especially against Michigan because now you've got an extra guy on the floor to guard against a Darius Morris or something along those lines. It creates more problems for Michigan to have to deal with. Overall, though, it's more on Singler.
I want to get back a little bit to the season Michigan is having because I'm just looking at their whole schedule and you touched on it where they were kind of predicted to be at the bottom, maybe get a few wins. They started off the Big Ten season 1-7.
Yep.
And now to be where they're at, to win a tournament game by 30, does it matter what happens against Duke?
Oh, no. They're playing with house money. They were playing with house money as soon as they qualified for the tournament, considering what people expected. So I think they're playing with house money at this point, which I think is an advantage to Michigan. Because unlike Michigan State, who when they play with house money is awful, okay, Michigan does a good job playing with house money. When they played against Kansas earlier, when they played against Syracuse, they played well against those teams because, frankly, it didn't matter how they did in those games. They were not going to win those games. It didn't matter how they played. And, you know, if they had lost by 30, I don't think it has any reflection on their resume if they had lost by 2 or 5 or whatever they lost to Kansas and Syracuse. So I think they're playing with house money. You know, the thing with Beilein and this Michigan team is it really does make me wonder why we are surprised that Michigan is good, why we are surprised that Beilein was able to do this. I kind of relate it back to with Billy Gillespie at Kentucky. Okay, Billy Gillespie, when Gillespie was at Texas A&M, Gillespie didn't get 5-star recruits. Gillespie got 3-star recruits and turned them into 5-star players. Okay, but when Kentucky recruited him and the first year didn't go well, they assumed he was going to start getting 5-star recruits. And they fired him because he wasn't getting those big-time recruits. But I'm telling you, if Gillespie had stayed at Kentucky for a couple more years, he would be doing what Beilein is doing, where you get these guys that nobody really knows about, and you end up winning with them. That's the style of coaches that these guys are. And so, really, when you look at Beilein's background, I'm really disappointed in us, the media, in assuming that he wasn't going to turn it around the same way that he did it at West Virginia.
I think the problem is, or the reason behind it, is the downturn they took last year. Because they had made the tournament in 08, they won their first-round game against Clemson, then went up against Blake Griffin, and it was all going forward. You figure Manny Harris, Deshaun Sims, this is the team, we've got it. And then it all fell apart. And it just left a lot of question marks. And that was the biggest thing with him.
But this is what Beilein does. It's about system guys. It's about using guys that are in your system. And Manny Harris and Deshaun Sims were not Beilein system guys. And when you have changeover like that, and you have guys that don't fit your system, there's going to be trouble. Okay, I mean, you can look at Michigan football. Look at all the players that had trouble because they didn't want to adjust to Rich Rodriguez's system. When you change an entire system with players that were playing in a different system, you're going to run into trouble and you're going to run into friction, okay? But now that he has his players, they're doing what they should be doing. They're executing. They're playing well. This is a good basketball team. And the fact that they don't graduate anybody, they bring in another four-star recruit next year out of Southfield. This is a team headed in a fantastic direction that, I heard some people saying ridiculously on the air that they think that Michigan is going to end up 15th in the polls starting next year, which I think is ridiculous. I don't think that they can start that high. But could they be a top 25 team to start this next year? Absolutely, I think they could.
We talked a couple weeks ago about programs, where the programs are at. Now, can you imagine Michigan State fans, how they're going to feel if Michigan happens to beat Duke, in how this will turn real quickly? It won't. Just in bragging rights in fans, not necessarily in the program being better, but how big of a turn this year will be.
Well, first of all, I hope Michigan fans shut up a little bit, because Michigan fans tend to act like they don't care about a sport until they're good at it, and then all of a sudden they care about it. Whereas Michigan State fans, for the most part, I mean, you always have your exceptions, but for the most part, Michigan State fans care about basketball and football at the same time. Michigan fans tend to care about basketball when basketball is good, and then disappear and claim that they're only excited about football season when their basketball team is bad. So I hope they give it a couple years before they start rubbing it in. But knowing the Michigan fans that I know, they're going to start right away. In fact, they're probably already starting to trash talk.
Deservedly so.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I hope they shut up and take it with a grain of salt, but they won't. And because of that, you know, if they beat Duke, okay, you remember what we were talking about a couple weeks ago where we were saying, you know, they're a better team than Michigan State this year, but the program is nowhere near Michigan State's program. If they start getting to Sweet 16s on a regular basis, now you can start talking about that gap closing, especially if a couple years in a row they outperform Michigan State. Am I saying the gap's closing now? No, but I am saying Michigan's going to get their foot in the door if they beat Duke today.
Yeah, this is a really big stepping stone.
Or tomorrow, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but yeah, this season is definitely turning into that launching pad to close that gap for sure.
And we'll break down the West bracket next. We'll also break down the East bracket, Southwest, Southeast, and we'll talk Pro Day for Michigan State. Scott was there. He talked to a whole bunch of players and Mark D'Antonio. We'll talk about it all coming up here on Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS.